And now I invite you to pay attention and enjoy this video, which is so on topic for our talk today.
So I'm just trying to figure out why you decided to meet with me. I mean, you've been ducking me, and then all of a sudden...
My little sister's getting married.
Ah, before you.
That's not what I'm upset about.
And what are you upset about?
You don't know Tess. She's going to want me to do everything. I'm not going to just be her maid of honor. I'm going to be taking care of everything.
So why don't you just say no?
What?
Say no. You have said no to people before, haven't you?
Yes, of course. Many, many times in this situation. Never. Not once.
Bobby, you want to say no.
But I can't. It's my sister.
But you can say no because it's your sister. All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to practice, all right? We're going to practice saying no. You think I'm kidding? Turn around. We're going to play this game. Come on. Humor me. All right, Jane, give me 50 bucks.
No.
Jane, it's 50 bucks. I'll pay you back.
No.
Jane, I need you to give me 50 bucks.
No.
Not bad. Have your drink.
Sure. No.
Oh, no.
You were doing so well. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that video captures a lot of things, right? Our topic today is the practice of saying no. So for starters, it seems only appropriate to dedicate this talk today to every girl or lady that I ever dated, or for that matter, any girl that I even asked out. But really, it's kind of a weird thing to talk about, the practice of saying no. So much of unity is taking a positive view of things. I remember when I was first ordained, I had no idea what church I would go to, where I might end up. So I had some generic business cards printed. And on the back of these cards, I came up with an expression. Saying yes means never having to wonder what might have been. And I still believe that to be true today. But now I have an understanding that saying no and saying yes really share with one another an incredibly close relationship. No is one of the very first words we ever learn. In fact, as a very young child, you cannot successfully transition into the terrible twos until you master the art of saying no. I remember quite vividly when my daughters were that age, Lori, you have to finish your dinner. No, I don't want to. Lisa, come on. It's time for your bath. No, no. And when you think about it, understanding that you have the power to say no, it's a very fundamental part of your development. You establish for yourself that you have a level of independence, a degree of assertiveness, and at least some small aspect of control over and in your life. But as I started to say before, saying yes and saying no are really two sides of the same coin. Either expression can represent a choice to grow, stay put, or regress spiritually. And on the surface, it doesn't seem to be complicated. I mean, all you have to do is say yes to the good stuff and no to the bad stuff, right? Let's see. Should I eat my vegetables? Well, yes, of course. Should I do drugs? Why, no, of course not. Ah, but if only life were that simple. But we all know that we often don't eat our vegetables like we should. And it's a fact of life that in the United States, drugs is a multi-billion-dollar industry, so somebody must be doing them. all of this in spite of a massive advertising campaign just a few years ago. Just say no to drugs. On a large scale, on a broad picture, it becomes easier to see what saying no looks like. In the Hebrew scriptures, Joseph, the son of Jacob, says no to the attempts by the Pharaoh's wife to seduce him. And then, having been scorned by Joseph, the Pharaoh's wife tells her husband that Joseph tried to rape her, and then Joseph is thrown into prison. When Samson is asked by Delilah, "What is the secret of your strength?" he indirectly says no to her by lying, a tactic I have used in my own life. Of course, he should have kept saying no to her, but eventually he says yes and shares his secret, and he ends up losing his strength. The character Daniel is ordered by his king not to pray to his God. And Daniel says no to the king and is thrown into the lion's den. All three of these stories have happy endings, as in each case, by saying no, they were saying yes to God. And in the Christian scriptures, as we have all been taught, Jesus is tempted by the devil as he goes off to prepare for his ministry. And Jesus' response to each of the temptations is no. No, thank you. More than 100 years ago, a man living in London was converted to Christianity. He became pastor of a church in the slums of London. He went to the poor, the down and out, and the oppressed. He formed a little group of people called the Hallelujah Band, and he would stand on the street corners and preach the gospel. Well, many of the clergy were embarrassed by it all. The man was called before a conference of religious leaders who said, "William Booth, will you go where we tell you to go? Because if not, you will be defrocked." And in the balcony, a woman stood up. She was Booth's wife, Catherine, and she said, "William, say no, never." And he said no. And that no changed history in Great Britain and in so many other parts of the world, because Booth founded the Salvation Army, a real difference maker to the needy all over our globe. Saying no can be one of the most difficult things for us to do. It's something that all of us struggle with at one time or another. Part of it is that very often something that should be black and white really looks gray when we view it through our own lens. And part of it is we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Part of it is that we so desperately want to fit in and not be on the outside looking in. Remember your teenage years? Do you remember how incredibly difficult it was not to go along? I started smoking at the age of 10. I was offered a cigarette and felt that I could not say no. And on several occasions as a teenager, I am embarrassed to tell you, to share with you, that I had too much to drink because I was afraid to walk away from a situation with my friends, afraid to say no. Yes, afraid. Fear is such a great inhibitor to saying no to things and situations that we know, we inherently know, are not good for us. Sometimes we're afraid of being alone. We're afraid of not being liked. On our jobs, we are afraid the boss will be unhappy if we say no to a request. And how many women over the years were understandably afraid of losing their jobs if they said no to being sexually harassed? How many of us remain in an unhealthy friendship, in an unhealthy relationship, because we can't say no out of fear of hurting the other person, or we just don't want to be mean. And so we make a decision, we choose, we decide. We just keep going along saying yes to a bad situation. How many people continue to say yes in a relationship in which they are experiencing physical abuse because they're afraid of not being taken care of? Or plain and simple, how many of us just cannot bring ourselves to say no because nobody ever taught us the need and the art of setting boundaries in our lives? In fact, isn't it the case that even without realizing it, we say yes to so many stressors in our lives without even considering that we have an option to say no, to say, I don't think so, to say, not today, or no more, thank you. But the truth is that saying no opens that door that allows us to saying yes to being in alignment with Spirit. Saying no is the beginning of virtually every miracle, every cure in the Scriptures. The paralytic at the pool sat there for 38 years before he would finally walk, because he was not able to say no to the circumstances. He was not able to say no to the rule that you had to be the first one in the pool. And then finally, when he's challenged by Jesus to do that, just that, he's able to get up and he's able to walk. He's able to say yes. A leper is cured by Jesus because he was able to say no to being a leper. That he was able to look at his life and say, no, this cannot be. This is not my fate. This is not who I am. And then he was able to say yes and ask to be healed. Our own co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, said no to a diagnosis of terminal tuberculosis, and she became healed. There's a very famous motivational speaker, Les Brown. I'm sure some of you have heard of him, and I hope some of you have heard him. If not, do yourself a favor. Go on to Google and Google his name, Les Brown, and you'll be able to gain access to some of his really incredibly inspirational talks. And he's so popular, so well-renowned, that if you want him to come and speak for you, you better start talking at a level of $25,000 or more for starters. But when Les Brown was a young boy, a teacher told him to go to the blackboard and write something, and Les Brown said, I can't do that, sir. And the teacher said, what do you mean you can't do that? Go to the blackboard and do it. And again, Les Brown said, I can't do that, sir. And the teacher asked, why not? And Les Brown said, because, sir, I am educable, mentally retarded. And the teacher said, who told you that? Don't ever let me hear that from you again. Don't ever let somebody else determine your destiny. That day, that teacher saved Les Brown's life. That day, that teacher taught Les Brown the practice of saying no. In my own life, virtually every spurt of growth, every time that I really feel that I've moved along on a path, it began by me being able to say no. I was blessed at an early age to have mentors, people who cared about me, who taught me that whatever is does not have to be. You could say no to it. When I was a young boy of 15, my sister was getting married, and I was very, very Catholic at the time. And my sister was marrying somebody who previously had been divorced. And in Catholicism, that is a no-no. It tore the heart out of my chest, but I said no to attending her wedding. I went to her on my knees, sobbing, and afterwards I would realize I made a wrong decision. I should have gone to the wedding. However, it was the right decision at that time, because I believed that I was in alignment, that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, that I was doing the right thing. And thank God, my sister was understanding and loving and even consoling. Many times in my life, when I have been confronted with having to say no to a really difficult situation and do the right thing, I'm able to go back to that time in my life as a source of strength and courage, knowing that it's in me somewhere, if I could just bring it forward. In unity, we often talk about denials, not in the sense of losing touch with reality, but as a powerful method of prayer. By saying no to something that is holding us back or holding us down, we are creating, we are making a space in our hearts and our minds that allows us to say yes to a greater awareness, say yes to a closer communion with our God. And when we say no to whatever it is, a stubborn mindset, a bad habit, an addiction, a fear, a crummy relationship, a prejudice that has been handed to us and drummed into us, a long-time grudge that we may have been holding, a painful memory. When we say no to all of these things and other things like that, we create an opportunity for growth. We create an opportunity to come alive. We create an opportunity for healing. We're able to take at least a few more steps along our spiritual paths. We make room. We allow ourselves to be happier and more peaceful. You know, it's analogous to climbing a ladder. Before we can reach up and grab hold of that next rung, we have to first let go of the rung to which we have so desperately been clinging. In effect, we have to say no to it. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you cannot serve two masters. You want to be loving? You want to be the happy person you were born to be? By saying no to everything about you that says otherwise, that's how you get it done. There's an old riddle. How do you make a statue of an elephant? And the answer is, well, you get a really big, large stone and chisel away and say no to everything that's not an elephant. This is what prayers of denial are all about. Denials are all about the practice of saying no. Saying no can take on many different forms. You may recognize it in other terms such as, I've had it. Enough is enough. Or I've had all I'm about to take. I've had it up to here. That's it. No more. It's a kind of resolve that motivates you to giving the bully a punch in the nose. And sometimes we have to understand we are guilty of bullying ourselves. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the 4th of July, and we talked about the Declaration of Independence as being a really powerful affirmation, and it absolutely was. It was an affirmation that caused the whole world to sit up and take notice. But it came on the heels of a powerful collective no to the abuse that we had been experiencing at the hands of the King of England. All of our current protesting that are going now, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, a very affirmative protest, all of this was birthed by a loud, resolute no to years of ongoing abuse, to years of being objectified for decades, for centuries, just simply based on the color of skin. If you're a fan of the musical artist Paul Simon, you are familiar with the song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. The lyrics then suggest all kinds of goofy ways, really, about ending a relationship. And I reference this song today because by broadening its scope, it serves, it gives us a useful message. If there are things that are tying you down, keeping you from being who you want to be, preventing you from realizing your dreams, things maybe even keeping you from dreaming. There must be 50 ways to let go and say no. 50 ways, 150 ways, 1,000 ways to check out, even silly ways to gather that strength that is so necessary to say no to everything that is confining to your life. I came so close to not going into the ministry because of my age. Then one day, with a little encouragement, I finally said no to the belief that I was too old. I said no to the belief that the time had come and passed for me to really be about something that I had dreamed about doing for virtually my entire life. Our talk title today was inspired by the title of a chapter in one of my favorite books, An Altar of the World by Barbara Brown Taylor. And our prayer chaplains right now have every month been studying more and more of this book, and I highly recommend it to all of you. But in that chapter that I'm talking about, Reverend Taylor emphasizes the Sabbath and how important it is for us to observe the Sabbath. Not so much in the traditional sense of setting aside a Saturday or a Sunday, but having a consciousness and having a mindfulness toward deliberately setting aside a quiet time for you to be connected, for you to be in closer communion with your God. In order to make this happen, you have to say no to any and all distractions. You have to close out not only the trivial, but also the so-called really important things in your life. You have to say no to your job, your worries, your concerns, your relationships, everything, to allow yourself to zero in on the very ground of your being, to allow you to some way make a contact with whatever it is that is the vibrancy, the life that occupies your body. And you have to put aside not just the distractions and the problems, but even the good things in your life, the things that are going great. You have to be about the practice of saying no to everything that is not God. Just like in that crazy riddle, how do you make a statue out of an elephant? Get rid of it. Chisel away everything that is not your God. So let's take some time now. Let's get into the practice of saying no by going into the Sabbath and going into meditation and listening.